Call the next case, please. Just a moment till everybody gets situated. You may proceed.
Good morning, Your Honor, Madam Chief Justice, and may it please the Court. My name is William Reisinger, here on behalf of the Attorney General's Division of Consumer Counsel. With me at counsel table is Senior Assistant Attorney General Meade Browder. And, Your Honor, I'd ask that I be allowed to reserve 5 minutes of my time for rebuttal today. Your Honors, as you may be aware, the Attorney General's Division of Consumer Counsel is charged by statute with representing the interests of Dominion's customers in commission proceedings. And I think it's worth noting that it has been over 22 years since the Division of Consumer Counsel has stood before this court as an appellant in a commission proceeding. And that is indicative of how clearly wrong we believe the majority's statutory interpretation was in this case. And this was a sharply divided panel at a commission where dissents are exceedingly rare. That was the majority's erroneous interpretation of the statute. You're correct, Your Honor.
And the Attorney General's office did not challenge that ruling.
The Attorney General's office has appealed the Commission's finding that the enhanced rate of return should be applied to transmission infrastructure. That is the question.
So you did not appeal the non-transmission infrastructure?
No, Your Honor. And in this. In this case, Your Honor, there is a clear dividing line between what is transmission and what is generation, and that dividing line has been made by Dominion in its application. In Dominion's application, there are costs of the generation facility which fall.
Before we get to that, if there isn't a distinguishing factor, what is
No, Your Honor. There is a distinction between generation and transmission.
I'm assuming there isn't.
No, Your Honor. We have appealed the question and the Commission's majority's decision to apply the enhanced rate of return to non-generation transmission costs. We have appealed the Commission's decision to apply this enhanced rate of return to transmission costs that fall under the transmission certificates of public convenience and necessity, which Dominion had to apply for pursuant to a different statute, pursuant to different criteria in the Code of Virginia from the generation facility itself. And Your Honors, you're correct. The sole question for this court is whether this rate of return bonus that is intended to incentivize the construction of generation facilities, whether this rate of return bonus should also be applied to separately certificated transmission facilities, which extend dozens of miles from the generation facility itself. And a 2-to-1 majority of the Commission answered this question in the affirmative. Commissioner Dimitri filed 2 dissenting opinions in which he characterized the majority's statutory interpretation as plainly erroneous and as ignoring the plain meaning of subsection A6. And I'd like to focus today on the plain language of the statute because it is well settled that this court will review questions of statutory interpretation based on the plain language of the statute unless there is an ambiguity in the statute. And no party to this appeal has claimed that any of the statutory terms are ambiguous.
Counsel, I want to hear that argument, but before you get there, both sides are making a plain meaning argument. it appears that reasonable minds can disagree. There are three reasonable minds on the State Corporation Commission, and as you said, dissents are exceedingly rare. So it allows for more than one interpretation, because there is more than one interpretation by reasonable experts. Let's presume that there is no other evidence of contemporaneous General Assembly intent. Where else can we look, if anywhere, to bring in evidence? For example, can we take judicial notice of the General Assembly's pulling back on enhanced rate of return in other areas of the statute within the past couple of years? And if so, how would we interpret that?
Your Honor, I don't think this Court needs to look to extrinsic evidence. I don't think this Court needs to look to what the General Assembly has done in the 2013 General Assembly session. The statute that we are interpreting today is the statute that was in effect in November 2012 when Dominion filed its initial application. And there is plain language in the statute that does describe in specific, direct, and mandatory terms how this enhanced rate of return is to be calculated and how it is to be applied.
So in essence, this becomes baseball arbitration. We listen to your plain meaning argument, we listen to their plain meaning argument, we choose one or the other without any extrinsic facts coming in. That's really how you've set up the playing field.
Yes, Your Honor, that is correct. However, the majorities and the commission's and Dominion's plain meaning argument is based on a portion of the code that does not deal with the enhanced return.
Understand the argument.
Our plain meaning argument is based on the plain language of the statute where the enhanced return is specifically discussed and where the General Assembly does describe in mandatory terms how the enhanced rate of return is to be calculated and how it is to be applied. And the portion of the statute that I'm referring to provides that the enhanced rate of return shall be calculated based on a table provided in the statute, and the portion of the statute also says that the enhanced rate of return shall apply only to the facility that is the subject of the rate adjustment clause. So the critical question for the court is, what is the meaning of the term facility in subsection A6? And based on the plain language of the statute, the word facility can only mean generation facility. Every place where the word facility is mentioned in subsection A6, it's either modified by the adjective generation or it's modified by the adjective such and referring back to previously described generation facilities, or it's used in another way referencing previously described generation facilities. For example, when the statute speaks of facilities described in Clause 1, it's referring back to Clause 1 in the first sentence of the statute, which discusses coal-fueled generation facilities that utilize Virginia coal. So it's clear, based on the plain language of the statute, that the term facility means generation facility. So when the statute directs that the enhanced rate of return shall apply only to the facility, this means that the enhanced rate of return shall apply only to the generation facility and not to separately certificated transmission infrastructure, which extends dozens of miles from the power plant itself and which serves a separate function.
But there are plenty of places where the generation facilities specifically used at the time.
Yes, Your Honor, and I believe the court has stated in several recent cases that when a term is used in different sections of a statute, this court will give it the same meaning unless there is a clear indication that the General Assembly intended a different meaning. And in this situation, the word facility is usually modified by an adjective. It's not modified by an adjective in every situation, but I think based on a reading of the statute, it's clear that facility means generation facility. And as Commissioner Dimitri said,
generation facility is specifically used, right?
Correct.
And you're asking us to read the word generation into that same statute earlier where just the word facility is used.
Yes, Your Honor. I think every place where the statute uses the term facility, it means generation facility. Based on the plain language of this statute, and also based on the way this term is used in the electric utility industry as a whole.
Okay, so then you have to read out of A6, including costs of infrastructure associated therewith. Because that's what you're saying that the statute.
Your Honor, you're reading from the sentence of the statute that is relied on by the majority to reach their conclusion. And I want to be clear that this sentence does not deal with the calculation or the application of the enhanced return. This sentence has nothing to do with the enhanced return. This is merely a portion of the statute that is explaining those categories of costs that may be recovered through the rate adjustment clause. And if you look at this sentence, there's even a clear dividing line, a clear grammatical dividing line, where there's a, after this sentence describes the categories of costs that may be recovered through a rate adjustment clause, there's a comma, the conjunction plus, so the statute says plus the utility may recover an enhanced rate of return as specified below. And this is the first place in the statute where the enhanced return even comes up. So the statute says, directs the reader to learn how to apply and calculate the enhanced return, look to subsequent language. This is what this phrase, as specified below, means. And the subsequent language in the statute does describe in specific and direct terms how the enhanced rate of return is to be calculated and applied.
Counsel, on the sentence that I think you're focusing on, one of them, where it says such enhanced rate of return on common equity shall be applied, et cetera, et cetera, and thereafter be applied to the entire facility. I know that you read the word facility there to mean generation facility. What do we do with the word entire? I mean, why was that word needed if it just meant the generation facilities, the types of them that had been discussed earlier on in the statute?
Yes, Your Honor. Entire here does not have any expansion effect. It doesn't transform the plain meaning of facility to include things that are not the generation.
Well, it's there.
Facility.
We've got to do something with it. We have to give it some meaning or else we're ignoring it.
Yes, Your Honor. And if you look at the sentence here, this is saying that the enhanced rate of return shall be applied to allowance for funds used during construction and to construction work in progress during the construction phase of the facility. And thereafter shall be applied to the entire facility. So this can only mean you apply the enhanced rate of return to these things, construction work in progress, et cetera, during the construction phase, and thereafter you apply it to the completed facility, to the facility that exists, because during the construction phase, there is no facility. It is under construction. So here, entire can only mean completed facility. And I do want to point out one additional thing about this sentence, because the appellees do rely on this word entire to expand the definition of generation facility. But even under the appellee's interpretation of this statute, entire is meaningless. It has no effect, because under the appellee's interpretation of the statute, the enhanced rate of return is applied to the construction work in progress during the construction phase, and the enhanced rate of return is applied to the facility after the construction phase. So even under their interpretation, entire has no effect. So we think that it's not plausible to assume that the word entire expands the definition of facility to include separately certificated transmission infrastructure, which extends dozens of miles from the power plant itself. And in addition to the plain language, the entire statutory framework regarding the enhanced return is specific to a generation facility. The word transmission is not mentioned in the portion of the statute dealing with how the enhanced rate of return is to be calculated. Infrastructure is not mentioned. Transmission lines are not mentioned. This is all about a generation facility. If you look at the table, the table contains three columns. The first is type of generation facility. And type of generation facility includes nuclear-powered facilities, renewable-powered facilities, and combined cycle combustion turbine-powered facilities, which is the plant in this case. And the size of the bonus depends on the type of generation facility. Nuclear-powered generation facilities get 200 basis points, whereas other types of generation facilities get less. And the bonus is also to be applied based on the first portion of the service life of the generation facility. Nuclear-powered facilities get this bonus between 12 and 25 years, and renewable-powered facilities get this generation bonus between 5 and 15 years. So the length of time that the enhanced rate of return is to be applied also depends on the type of generation technology. It has nothing to do with transmission lines. The reference to service life in this table, this is, again, another clear reference to generation. There was no testimony in the proceeding below regarding the service lives of the transmission lines, and as the commission staff pointed out in the proceeding below, the transmission lines even have a different commercial operations date from the generation facility. So we believe that it is clear based on the plain language of the statute and also clear based on the statutory framework that this enhanced return is all about generation. It's not about transmission lines.
Can I ask you one question? It's a real practical question, different from what you can talk about. You said, among the first things you said today, was the purpose of the ROE is to incentivize the building of generation plants. As I understand, the practical effect of this would be that this will now incentivize the building of the plants, but disincentivize, that's the right word, the building of elaborate transmission facilities. So you'd want to have a facility that needs minimal transmission facilities. Correct? And then you go a little step further. So the best place to put these power plants would be across the street from the state capitol and downtown Norfolk and all over Northern Virginia. Because there'd be minimal infrastructure.
No, Your Honor, I don't think I'd agree with your premise entirely. Transmission is not needed in every case. As you said, sometimes power plant is built near load centers and no transmission is necessary. Dominion has received certificates for several generation facilities that did not need any additional transmission because they were able to use existing transmission lines. So it's really a case-by-case basis. And I also want to point out, I know I would like to save a little time for rebuttal, but it's quite an incentive to recover transmission costs through a rate adjustment clause. The utility is guaranteed to recover those costs. They're guaranteed to recover their fair rate of return, net after-tax return, and they're guaranteed to recover those costs on a timely basis.
Well, they get that on the transmission facility, too, so the ROE is an additional incentive. Is that correct?
That is correct.
It was to incentivize the building facilities, and in fact, it's also to ensure a reliable and adequate supply of electricity to meet the utility's projected native load obligations and promote economic development.
Correct, Your Honor. And the enhanced rate of return does not need to be applied to transmission in order to effectuate the statute's purpose. And if I could reserve the balance of my time for rebuttal.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
May it please the court, my name is John Dudley. I'm with the State Corporation Commission, and I'm sharing time with Dominion. In this case, the commission followed both the plain language and the express purpose of the statute. And I'm going to start with the plain language, because under the plain language of this statute, if the commission finds that something is associated infrastructure, it has to get the enhanced return. There are no exceptions. This is a statute for setting rates, not for granting a certificate. 585.1A6 tells the commission how to set rates for new generation facilities. And it tells us we have to do a couple of things. First, we have to create a rate adjustment clause to recover the costs of the generation facility. Then it tells us we have to apply an enhanced return to the entire facility. But what's most important is the statute tells us what makes up the generation facility. The statute says that the cost of the generation facility include the infrastructure associated with that facility. And all of the infrastructure must be treated the same. The statute doesn't create different classes of infrastructure, and it doesn't give the commission the discretion to create different classes of infrastructure. Once the commission finds that something is associated infrastructure, then it's a cost of the generation facility under this statute. As an example, in this case, the commission found that the water treatment facility was associated infrastructure. So that means that the water treatment facility is part of the entire generation facility that's in the rate adjustment clause and that gets the enhanced return. So again, the critical question under the statute is whether something is or is not associated infrastructure. And that gets me to the transmission interconnection. Is the interconnection, which connects the new generation to the transmission grid, is that infrastructure associated with the generation facility? The commission found that it is. The interconnection is only needed so that the new generation can function, so the commission found that it's associated infrastructure. That finding was within the commission's discretion, it was supported by the evidence, and it was not and is not contested. So once I have that finding, I take it and I go back to the statute, and I can apply the plain language, because as counsel said, the statute doesn't use the word transmission. It doesn't separate different types of infrastructure. It doesn't parse out what is and is not associated infrastructure under the statute. That's the commission's job, and the commission's finding in this case that the interconnection is associated infrastructure is the law of this case. So I have that finding. I go back to the statute. I apply the plain language. The plain language tells me I apply the enhanced return to the entire facility. The statute tells me the costs of this generation facility include the associated infrastructure. And the law of the case tells me the interconnection is part of that associated infrastructure.
Counsel?
Yes.
Let's actually take it a step further. In Northern Virginia presently, there is an enormous demand for electricity from data centers. It's obvious, I think everyone agrees, that the General Assembly intended to incentivize the in-state generation of electricity through the enhanced rate of return, as opposed to buying electricity on the grid from out of state. There's no doubt about that. So in order to meet that regional demand, the Dominion or any other generator constructs a facility and the interconnect transmission lines. But likewise, in order to meet that demand, they have to increase the capacity, hypothetically, they have to increase the capacity on the existing transmission facilities. Would that increased capacity also receive the enhanced rate of return under your interpretation?
Your Honor, that's a factual question that would be tried in front of the commission and appealable to this court. In this case, just like any particular associated infrastructure, somebody would go to the commission and say,
understand that, but we ask these hypotheticals because ultimately we're the final arbiter, and our decision here is going to affect potentially whether the increased capacity on existing transmission facilities is covered by an enhanced rate of return. And I'd like you to answer it would be under the commission's interpretation that we have before us.
The commission's interpretation, Your Honor, unfortunately simply doesn't go that far. But the commission's interpretation says that
it's... That's why it's hypothetical.
Well, let's say PJM came to the commission. If I could extend your facts, because it's a factual question. If PJM, because in this case, the commission had to... Dominion put in evidence and said, look, PJM and FERC say that this is the interconnection. This is what's needed only to serve the new generation. And they put in evidence that says, okay, this is not needed but for the new generation, so on federal purposes, this is considered part of the entire generation facility. If we have the facts that you laid out, the hypothetical, if we had the same evidence that PJM and FERC come in and say, look, this is for rate purposes. This is the interconnection. It's only needed but four. I can't guess what the commission would rule, but based upon, you know, if I'm extrapolating from this order, the commission, based upon the facts of this case, found, because in this case there are three different pieces of the interconnection. PJM came in and we cited to it in our brief. There's three different types of interconnection facilities that were needed that make up the interconnection. And the commission found as a factual matter that, yes, that is interconnection associated with the generation facility, and that was not contested. That finding wasn't contested below. It's not contested today. So your hypothetical goes, unfortunately, takes me to a factual finding that, you know, the commission hasn't made. If there's evidence supporting it, I mean, how far down does it go? Does it go to New Jersey? I mean, that's how come the statute cannot lead to an absurd result. And we've made had the absurd result argument that, you know, the commission is extending this into things it wasn't meant to. No, the commission is applying the statute and doing exercising the discretion the statute requires to determine what is and is not associated infrastructure. If somebody comes in and says something in New Jersey is associated infrastructure, maybe a different argument.
That's not the hypothetical. Well, I know it's not the hypothetical.
No, but I guess my point is that it is hypothetical. What the commission may and may not find is going to be dependent upon the facts that are presented, you know, in evidence in the case, is and is not associated infrastructure. And if somebody believes, in this case, if somebody believed that the transmission interconnection was not associated infrastructure, that's appealable to this court and subject to review. And I do want to get, I was going to get to the express purpose that, you know, once the commission found that the interconnection is associated infrastructure, then the interconnection costs get the enhanced return, just like other associated infrastructure, because that's what we apply enhanced return to. Cost, that's why it's important when the statute tells us the generation facility includes infrastructure costs, that's what we're applying the enhanced return to.
Counsel, let me ask you this. When would the transmission component of the generation facility that can't function unless it hooks up to the complex, when would it not be a part of the generation facility?
How far removed is it? How far is it to where the commission would or would not find that the transmission component is associated infrastructure? And, Your Honor, physically, I don't know where that goes. I know there would have to be evidence in the commission proceeding. In this proceeding, the commission looked at the use of but-for test. And, you know, if these new facilities were not needed but for the new generation, the commission found was associated infrastructure. And PJM and FERC are the ones that PJM identified the pieces that were needed. If PJM had identified a fourth piece, it easily could have been found part of the interconnection as well. But there's not a risk of an unreasonable cost or unreasonable rates, because the General Assembly still gives the commission the discretion to deny a project. If somebody comes in and says, look, I have this generation facility and I have all these extensive interconnection costs, and the commission discussed this in its order, the commission will look at the total costs of the project, the infrastructure included, the enhanced return included. And the General Assembly still gives the commission the discretion to say, yes, well, this is the infrastructure that's needed, these are the interconnection that's needed, and if we look at all the totality of circumstances, we find that the total costs are either not reasonable or not in the public interest, and so we deny the project. That's where the protection for consumers lies. And if I want to leave time for Dominion, my final point that I was going to briefly mention was the express purpose, because we do have in this statute an express purpose, and the express purpose was to encourage the construction of new generation. By changing the way that the commission has to set generation rates, and the commission has approved around 4,000 megawatts of new generation under this statute, and in all those cases, the interconnection is part of the entire generation facility. It's also how it's treated under federal law. Under federal law, the interconnection is not a cost to the transmission grid. It's part of the entire generation facility for rate-making purposes, and that's what this case is about. And then finally, this is also, almost finally, also follows the Virginia statutory purpose, because you need the entire facility, including all the infrastructure, including the interconnection, to get the new functioning generation. So to close, when the commission applied the enhanced return to the entire facility, which includes all associated infrastructure, which in turn includes the interconnection, we follow both the plain meaning and the express purpose. And I step down for Dominion now.
Thanks. All right, thank you.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, I'm Joe Reed on behalf of the Appalachian Virginia Electric and Power Company. Justice Mims, if I could start by attempting to further respond to your question of Mr. Dudley with respect to when would the improvements to the transmission system cease to be associated with the generation facility, and you used a hypothetical in Northern Virginia. In this case, as Mr. Dudley alluded, the Commission applied essentially a but-for test. In other words, but for the construction of this new generation facility, would the investments in the transmission interconnection infrastructure have been made? Are they being made because of the load that's being placed on the system by the generation facility, or are they being made in order to plug in the generation facility to the interstate transmission grid? That's the test that I believe is a factual matter the Commission would apply in each case and which would be subject to review by this Court. The other piece of this, I think, Your Honor, is that this is largely governed by federal law and not by state law. As Your Honors are aware, the interstate transmission grid is regulated by the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. And as part of that FERC-approved procedure, in this case, the transmission interconnection investments were determined by PJM under the utilities RTO under federal principles that these costs should be assigned as generation costs as opposed to being socialized across all users of the transmission system. So in this case, the Commission followed those federal principles in assigning these as costs related to the generation facility as opposed to costs which would be socialized across all users of the system because they are system-wide benefits to the transmission grid, the electric transmission grid. Now, just one further response. Is it possible that adding this load from the new generation facility to the interstate transmission system requires improvements in the transmission system itself, remote from the generation facility? Yes, that is possible. And in that scenario, those costs would be assigned to the generation facility under federal principles and would be recovered as generation costs from the utilities retail
under the but-for test.
Under the but-for test. Justice McClanahan, if I could also respond to a question you had of consumer counsel with respect to whether or not the Commission's finding that infrastructure costs other than transmission-related infrastructure are entitled to the enhanced return and whether or not that is the law of the case. These would be the infrastructure costs associated with the land that the facility sits on, with the roads, with the water treatment facility, which Mr. Dudley referred to the security buildings and the administration buildings. The answer to your question is yes. Those were found by the Commission in its discretion to be entitled to the enhanced rate of return, and yes, that is the law of the case. Error has not been assigned by consumer counsel to that finding. And as Mr. Dudley said, the statute does not create classes of infrastructure. Once the Commission determines in its discretion and through its expertise that investments constitute infrastructure that is associated with the generation facility, then that infrastructure is entitled to the enhanced rate of return, and all of that infrastructure is entitled to the enhanced rate of return. The question before the Court is answerable.
So how can we overturn the Commission's decision with regard to only the transmission infrastructure and not the non-transmission?
Your Honor, I think that would create an inconsistent result that would be problematic if the Court were to do that. And the assignments of error are drawn narrowly to attempt to isolate the transmission infrastructure from the non-transmission infrastructure, which the Commission approved the investments for and the enhanced rate of return for, and that would create an inconsistent result under the in applying the statute if the court were to reach that determination.
And that's actually
what the Consumer Counsel is asking. That is, yes, Your Honor. Yes, Your Honor. The question here is answerable by the plain language of the statute, but Justice Mims, to your earlier question about whether reasonable minds could disagree, obviously we did have a dissent in this case by one member of the commission. If the court were to look beyond the plain language of the statute to the legislative purpose and the legislative intent here, I believe Your Honor asked the question of whether or not the court could consider, for example, the recent amendments to subsection A6, and the company's position would be yes, of course, if the court looked beyond the plain language of the statute, that the recent amendments to subsection A6, and as Your Honor referred, the pulling back on some of the incentive return mechanisms in the law would certainly be relevant. The fact of the matter here is, since 2007, the commission has interpreted the incentive return provisions of subsection A6 now on 14 occasions over that 7-year period. And in that intervening period, although there have been on 2 separate occasions amendments to subsection A6 and amendments affecting the incentive return mechanism, there has been no amendment by the General Assembly to the incentive return with respect to its application to all associated infrastructure, including the transmission interconnection infrastructure. And, of course, the under established principles of this court, the General Assembly is presumed to be aware of how the Commission is applying the law, and certainly the stakeholders in the Commission proceedings and to this appeal are active participants in the legislative process. So, to close, Your Honors, in this case, the Consumer Counsel has suggested that if the Commission's determination is allowed to stand, that it would open some sort of Pandora's box, allowing the utility to include an untold web of transmission infrastructure and other items within the scope of the enhanced return. And I think it's clear from the Commission's decision in this case that that is an unwarranted fear. The Commission here took a very measured, reasoned, and well-grounded approach to determining the appropriate level of cost recovery for the New Brunswick County Power Station under subsection A6, just as it has done on 13 other occasions in interpreting this statute. The Commission examined the evidence here and made its determinations consistent with state and federal law. It determined the overall level of cost recovery that was appropriate, including what should be within the rate adjustment clause recovery and what is outside of the rate adjustment clause recovery, and applying the plain language of the statute, granted the company the enhanced rate of return on all of the includable capital costs under the REC. That determination should not be disturbed by this court. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor. I'd like to follow up briefly on statements made just now by Dominion's counsel. I want to be clear that this issue has never been raised, litigated, or decided in any way in any commission proceeding. The commission's own staff raised this argument for the first time in this case. Commissioner Dimitri agreed that this is an issue of first impression, and Commissioner Dimitri stated in one of his dissenting opinions that the majority's reliance on past precedent, quote, turns the concept of precedent on its head. This issue was never decided, never discussed in any way in any prior case.
But you don't contest that this RAC was awarded to these types of interconnection facilities in other cases?
In 2 other cases. Counsel for Dominion said 13 other cases. There have only been 2 other certificate proceedings in which transmission costs were in the RAC, and in both of those cases,
the transmission costs were between $5 and $10 million, relatively de minimis, would not have even moved the needle on rates. And as a result, this issue was never on anybody's radar. It was never raised or decided in any way.
But it was awarded, I mean, regardless of the amount.
Correct, Your Honor. As a technical matter, it was awarded. Justice McClanahan, I want to follow up on a question you had for counsel for the company regarding how we separate the costs. In this case, we have generation costs, which fall under the generation certificate, and then we have transmission infrastructure costs. And these are all the infrastructure costs at issue here. We have $89 million in transmission infrastructure costs, which fall under the separate certificates for transmission infrastructure. So the dividing line between the generation facility and what is not the generation facility has been made by Dominion in this case. And we would request that this court direct the commission to enter an order that is consistent with Commissioner Dimitri's two dissenting opinions on this matter. Thank you.
Thank you. The court will take a short recess.
Thank you.